Good to see you, Richie. Richie Roberts from the Waterford Driving Instructor Association. Thanks very much for coming into us. Other people texting in, my flags are out for the boys and girls. Another person saying good morning. Yeah, I have the flags out as well. Richie, we're going to talk about driving lessons, but also driving tests and what is needed. Just on the driving test things, the figures are quite startling about the number of people that don't turn up for driving tests.
There's they are unbelievable.
Why do people not turn up? Is it that they're not ready?
Some people maybe for whatever reason don't have, you know, might have not, their car mightn't be working or whatever. You see, I think it's five or seven working days. I didn't look this up, so I wasn't expecting that question, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'll just give you a few.
It's either 5 to 7 days that you have to have.
Yeah.
You have that time to cancel and get rescheduled.
Yeah.
You can cancel twice.
Last month, 643 people around the country applied for a driving test and paid a fee of €85 to the RSA, the Road Safety Authority, but failed to show up for the test. That brings the total number of no-shows this year so far to 3,030. At the current trend of around 600 no-shows per month, it'll reach around 7,000. And one of the centres with the most no-shows include Finglas, Tallaght, Naas. And then eighth is Waterford, 87 no-shows. Again, they wouldn't get their money back if they don't no-shows.
So I can give you one reason that often people will, a couple of days beforehand or a week before and start, oh, sure, I'll ring my instructor and I'll get a car. He can give me his car, which he would. But as long as he was test ready. He may then look at him and say, I'm sorry, but you know, you're not ready to pass your test. Or he mightn't have the car available and they start hunting around. And generally, you know, you're not going to give somebody a car. You're not going to give you a car to a stranger, are you? You want to see him driving and that. So a lot of it is sometimes that they can't get a car.
That's one of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons. But you can, just to help people on that, a parent or whatever can, or a spouse or whoever, can actually get insured maybe for a few weeks for them to pass the test.
Okay.
Quite inexpensively.
Hit me with some of the things. We've got 10 minutes to go through all the different things. Well, what do you need to have to be test ready?
Well, to be test ready, in my estimation, you need to, have your AID tell you that you're test ready. Your driving instructor, in other words, you know. You need to go to him. You see, people do the 12 lessons, they wait for 10 months maybe to get a test. And then they're green or they've got into bad habits or they were never ready in the first place and they want to go sit the test. And it's a revolving door if you don't do it rightly. You've got to make sure and be told by an AID, any AID, you are test ready. You need to be seen and make sure you're test ready. Then, for preparing for the day itself, make sure your permit is in date. People can go in with their permit out of date. Make sure you have L plates and that they're red, not gone faded too much. Your tyres, people get turned away for their tyres. If the tester judges your tyres not to be properly inflated, they won't bring you out. So you make sure you have them tested the day of your test and that they're okay, or the night before if it's an early morning test. Make sure they're not perished, you know, that the rubber is, you know, the way it sort of cracks and everything like that. That you give a good look and that they're not perished, properly inflated, no cuts, and that you have the proper amount of grip on the tyre, 1.6 across 3/4 of the tyre.
And would the tester go around and maybe...
Oh, they'll look at everything.
They'll look at everything.
The other thing is, people turn up with no insurance disc in the car. But I have a letter here from the insurance company. It's in the post. Or the tax. Tax gone. No NCT, no discs. You can't bring a letter. If you don't have displayed an NCT, if your car needs one, a tax disc or an insurance disc, you're not going to be taken out. It's as simple as that. So you need to make sure all your bulbs are working. You know, you have to have particularly brake lights, they will check and all of that, indicator bulbs, they will run through that and check all that with you. I spoke about the tax. Now, reg plates is another problem. people with not specified reg plates, you know, that they change their plates for fancy looking plates and numbers and dark colours and all that. No, you have to have the proper reg plates on the car. You need to know your car. Like, they will ask you where's all the different things on your car, like your hazard warning lights, a simple one, where to adjust your headlights, turn your headlights. It goes on and on. You need to know your car inside out. People will be sitting there in the car and they don't know how to adjust their headlights, or they don't know where, and, you know, loads of stuff is. So you need to know your car. Then there's an under bonnet check. You need to know where all the manufacturers put things in simple way for you and I, lay people. So you don't have to
apart from if they're French. Does manufacturers of Citroën and Renaults put the things in the most awkward places?
Some of them, you'd wonder how you get fuel in, like, but you can see them. They're visible. But how do you get...
Sometimes you can't. Poor old Tom, who used to be a mechanic in O'Connell Street, he used to hate me coming in with a particular French model of a car. Used to hate it. These French feckers, he'd say, you know, how to design these cars. But no, you're right. You need to know where stuff is.
You need to know where stuff is, yeah. And also, tinted windows is a problem. Or, you know, if you put the tinted just at the top where you're... at the top of your front window screen, they won't take out if that's too thick. There has to be 65% or more visibility.
Oh.
The guards actually can impound your car.
65
as well.
Or more,
yeah,
percent.
I don't know how
visibility.
To judge that.
How do they judge that?
I don't know, but if you have a heavily tinted car, they won't take out. It has to be to manufacturers.
Okay, well. What if you've tinted windows on the side?
They won't take out. If they will make that call on the day, and if they're heavily tinted, no, they won't take out.
Okay.
Maybe very light. So, they make that call, but it's, so be careful, you know. Ask your instructor again. They'll generally know if or an instructor. Doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to keep the same instructor all the time, you know. So that's getting test ready. And there is a Q&A in the test room. I know the reg of your car before you go in. A lot of people don't know the red. Do you know the number plate of your car?
I do now, yeah.
You do, since the last conversation we had. Well, if you have a car and it's stolen, for example, you ring up the guards and say, what was the reg of it? You should know the reg of your car. And they will ask you that inside. Now, they won't fail you because you don't know it, but it looks a bit silly if you don't know it. And, of course, they'll ask you, there's a Q&A session, there's a theory part to it. They'll ask you different signs and questions on the rules of the road. So that's being test ready. The other thing is, like, people, I always think that, and we discuss this amongst ourselves the whole time, people think, I've done my 12 lessons, so I'm okay now. But the 12 lessons is 12, started out as 12 modules, that you might be stuck on module one and not getting the... We'll say, for example, roundabouts. You know, we've done one on roundabouts. Now, once I've done that lesson now to change it, I have to sign it off. It used to be that I didn't sign that lesson off until I was comfortable that they could actually do the roundabouts. Or it could be any part, or reverse. It could be any part of the test, right? But what people also, and everybody's different, you're supposed to be able to get 3 hours tuition between a minimum, I think, of 3 hours. There's 3 hours supervised practice between each lesson that you EDT lesson you get from your instructor. Now, people may have not be afford, maybe, you know, their parents might be able to afford to insure them, or the car is too big, or it's an automatic that they're driving and they want to do it in a manual. I have somebody who is insured in a car, but because they were in school all year getting ready for their leaving, and their parents are working two different jobs and one car different times, that they couldn't get out and get, you know, proper practice. So in other words, what I'm saying is it's 12 lessons plus 3 hours between each lesson. That's 3 12s, that's 36, 38. That's 48 hours proper practice to pass your test. And if you can't get enough of your parents, or you can't afford insurance, you have to, in my estimation, get extra lessons. I'm not looking for more money. I wish everybody could have that practice and pass their test first time.
So basically, yeah, you want to make sure practice makes perfect. Just practice, practice, practice. Get as many hours as possible.
Yeah, but the great thing about youth is you think you're better than you are a lot of the time, isn't it? We all did, like, you know.
Hit me with a few more points there.
Well, that's about it, to make sure that you do get those, you know, that you are test ready and that you do get all that information. And when you need to read up, when you're starting out, I advise parents and the students to read up on what's needed to be done from day one. You know, that you get a couple of lessons, then you start practicing proper, as I said, supervised practice between each EDT lesson. And I would advise people not, I've been asked by several students, I want to get this done. You know, I've a month now and I want to get on. And I said, I'm not going to do that for you. Because rushing that, the brain is like a sponge. You've got to give it time to soak up the water. 2-hour lessons, I wouldn't do a 2-hour lesson for anyone. I had a push to somebody getting ready for a test, I'd do an hour and a half. Because they can't concentrate for 2 hours. And it's wasting money. And they don't get time to get the practice in between. So take your time. The lessons should be spread out roughly every 2 weeks. And that's all there to be read up on. As well, you know, on the RSA website. Make sure you get proper supervised, you know, lessons. Wait till you're able to afford all that and get it done right.
And again, one final thing, we've only a minute left. Just go through a scenario that if you do make a little mistake with the driving instructor beforehand, go through a scenario that, or your father or mother or whatever, if you make a little mistake, how to deal with that. Not to panic, just to sort of say, right, let's get on with this and move on to the next thing. Because the simplest thing is to go, oh, geez, and tense up, and then your whole, the little mistake you've made may not cost you your test.
No, and lots of people give up through the test. Yeah. I say, do not test yourself. Let the tester test you. And kids nowadays are quite good compared to when I was young, through sports and everything. Whatever you've done, you cannot change. That doesn't mean you failed your test. You can make up to 9, up to 8 mistakes and still pass your test. Now, that's a long discussion, as you said, you only have a minute. But I always say to people, don't think about, oh, I know this road now, I'd be doing a reverse up here, a turnabout. Stay in the moment, concentrate on what you can see. Only deal with what you can see. If you've made a mistake, put it behind you and move on and keep your concentration till you take the key out of the car back at the test centre.